I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, and to the traditional owners of the game Mangrook, without which our game wouldn't exist. This is Footy Actually, brought to you by Play On Radio. Hello and welcome to Footy Actually, the alternative listening podcast for diehard footy fans. My name is Kel Rowe and I'm back with my co-host Aish Ravi. How are you, Aish?
I'm great, thanks Kel. So glad to be back.
Hey, round six gave us a weekend of weird and wonderful footy. We're the very first AFLW showdown. We had a heap of narrow wins, some absolute clangers, redemption arcs and all of the things in between. My tips are completely cooked. I don't know about you, but I don't even care. That was such a great weekend of footy.
Yeah, so good for footy to have such close contests.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about the scoreline and the blowouts, but I just think the bigger picture is really, really exciting. And without the nuance and context of what the season looks like and the teams in it, you know, you're missing out.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can give women's sport a bashing, especially when the NRL Grand Final and the AFL Men's Grand Final both complete blowouts. So
Yeah, it happens in all sport. It's not exclusive to one or the other. The NRLW Grand Final, however, was an absolute cracker. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Very, very skillful bunch of women, and I look forward to seeing the expansion of that competition in the next season. Hey, so let's talk about the first game of round six. It took us down to Skybus Stadium at Frankston. A sweet game as the sunset and the sea views on offer. The Eagles started with a bang, showed off their really exciting development across the ground. But it was the second time it saw the Hawks fire up. Probably the most remarkable thing about this game was the genius of playing Jess Duffin up forward. Her amazing prowess in front of goals, believe it or not, was drafted as a forward back in the day, but obviously is more well-known these days as a defender. Beck played her up forward and she kicked three amazing goals, did some really fantastic outmarking in packs in the goal square. And it was a really exciting win for the Hawks to hold on by 3 points. What did you think?
Oh, so good. It was a great game to watch. Really exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really good to see the Hawks took advantage of the wind.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very strong wind being so close to the water down there.
Yeah.
Pretty views, but yeah, kind of hectic conditions.
Yeah.
Who are you playing performer votes for the round?
So my play on performer votes for that round were obviously Duffin. I gave Duffin my 3 votes.
Yeah.
I think she was really valuable. Went for her. Who knows what the scoreline could have gone the other way.
Mm.
Then I got Fleming for 2 and Gilroy for 1.
I've agreed with you on my 3 votes. I've got Jess Duffin in there. Huge game for her. She had 12 disposals, 5 marks, 3 tackles and 3 goals. Like I said before, she was drafted as a forward. So this was some real vintage stuff on display. And it's actually her first goal in 1,323 days. So in between that, she obviously played for Collingwood, played for the Roos, took some time off, had a baby, has come back, played for the Roos again, the Hawks for this season. So pretty amazing to see her pick up that.
Yeah.
I gave my 2 votes to Gilroy. I think she's shaping up to be one of the Hawks' best players. I'd be really surprised if she wasn't up there in their BNF at the end of the season. Really exciting player, really creates good forward ball movement and a lot of unpredictable footy when she gets her hands on it. I guess part of that comes from her Gaelic background, but also she's just a fantastic player. She had 15 disposals and 10 tackles in this game, which really speaks to her pressure efforts at the contest as well. And I've given one vote, of course, to Emma Swanson of the West Coast Eagles. I think, you know, the closeness and the excitement for the Hawks almost overshadowed the Eagles' development that they've had this season and really playing some nice footies. Emma had 28 disposals, 5 marks, 4 tackles and 1 goal. So definitely nothing to sniff at for a captain's effort for the Eagles.
Yes.
We got a doubleheader on a Friday night. Love a bit of doubleheader Friday night footy. Our second game for the evening was, of course, the first AFLW showdown. What an atmosphere that was. There was more than 20,000 people packed in at Adelaide Oval to see the Crows emphatically claim that first showdown win by huge 60 points in the end. And really, it was quite simply the Noffy, Chels and Hatch show. They're just absolutely on fire at the contest and in front of goals. I guess also credit to Power, despite the scoring disparity, they kept fighting and they didn't drop their heads. It would have been pretty easy just to pack it in. But I guess the atmosphere and the occasion probably helped buoy them over the line in that front too. But yeah, real clinical from the Crows and certainly putting the case down for finals there, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a real display from Adelaide in terms of, like, you know, how to win the ball, very fierce around the contest. And they really showed no mercy on Port Adelaide.
No.
I think they could have probably even scored a few more, but, you know, I think they were really dominant from the start.
Yeah, really the only sort of blight on their game was that inaccuracy in front of goals, but it didn't really cost them much. So it's still very comprehensive wins. Hey, what did you think of the showdown plate? There's been a lot of discussion about the fact that it was a very average looking plate compared to a ridiculous trophy that obviously is played for in the men's competition. Some people were arguing that it was a bit of a dissonance between the two, but other people just happy for the win. What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's good that we've got a showdown now. And they've got something to play for. And it's great to have a big, a crowd there, like a decent number.
Yeah.
They're supporting the women. But I think as it continues to grow, we'll probably have a trophy that's better than that.
I hope so. I mean, there's plenty else to crow about that was good in that game. Who are your player and performer votes for this one?
So I had Randall for 3, Hatchard for 2 and Marinoff for 1.
Nice. I've pretty much got the same, but a little bit of rejigging. I agree with you on the 3 votes. I've given 3 to Chels. She had 27 disposals, 6 marks, amazing marks, and 3 goals. She kicked the first one for Adelaide, really passionate jumper tug, and, of course, at the end of the game was awarded the showdown medal. So real captain's performance from her. I've given 2 votes to Marinoff. She had 24 disposals, 5 marks, 11 tackles, ridiculous from Noffy, and 1 goal. And I've given 1 vote to Hatchie, who had 23 disposals, 9 marks, 3 tackles and a goal. So really pretty hard to split the difference between those two. We know that they're partners in crime in the middle, but certainly a clinic from Adelaide.
Yes.
So Saturday morning brought us to the first of several Saturday games. Some pretty great weather about the place. This one, of course, was GWS playing the Blues at Henson Park. The final score was 4-5-28 to 1-6-12. I feel like the Giants are really out to prove their worth after last week's comprehensive thumping. A lot of talk about that during the week, and they certainly used it to fuel the fire in their game. And it really caught the Blues sleeping. Carlton's dominance in the ruck was just about the only bright spot in a hard day for the Blues, whilst GWS really showcased some free-flowing footy. They were winning the ball at the contest, and when they weren't, they were tackling ferociously to turn over possession. It was just really impressive for them. So hopefully they can build on that and keep putting in performances like that to create that momentum for them. I'm not really sure what happens to Carlton from here. I'd say that they're probably too far out and too much of an uphill slope to get any look in at finals, but the Giants will definitely be feeling better about their footy stakes after that win.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I definitely think the Giants were out to prove a point.
Yeah.
They just came out with so much vengeance, I think, in this game. So
yeah, a lot to prove.
Yeah, for sure.
I really enjoyed their charcoal strip that they were wearing. That Guernsey setup is very, very nice. So as a clash strip. Who are your play on performers for this one?
So I had Cole Staunton for my 3 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Parker and Garnett for 2 and 1.
I've actually given Georgia Garnett my three. She's really sort of coming into her own football in this season. I think it's quite impressive. But she had 17 disposals
and 12 marks
in this game and was responsible for a lot of the ball movement within GWS's game. I've given Emily Peace two. She had 10 disposals, 4 tackles and 2 goals. Again, she's been a force for them in front of goals. And we've talked about the Giants this season. We're definitely seeing a lot of other options and a lot of other players presenting themselves in front of goals, which is really exciting. Great to have multiple scoring avenues. And I've given one vote to Mualelawifi. I really, really enjoyed her matchup against Cora Staunton. There's very, very clear that she'd done her homework for this game. There's a great piece of footage that the AFLW put on Twitter where Cora's trying to step around her. Usually works, no worries. But Mua has obviously been waiting for her to do that, mirrors the movement and manages to lock her up in a tackle. So really impressive stuff from her. I feel like her defensive pressure, she only had 16 disposals and 2 tackles, but her pressure and the perceived pressure that she creates is probably quite crucial to the scoring difference not being any bigger than what it was.
Yep.
So following on for that, we had a beautiful day out in the Rat at Mars Stadium, the Dogs v the Cats. Fun fact, the first game of AFLW I ever went to was Dogs v Cats game.
Yep.
At Witten. So pretty awesome to see the development of these two teams. The final siren, such a close one. It was 5-6-36 to the Cats, 5-7-37. So 1 point. The Cats led at every change thanks to the scoring brilliance of Shelley Scott and Chloe Shear. The Dogs took some time to kind of settle and play the brand of footy that we expect for them as well. So it wasn't until the fourth term that they looked like themselves and they threatened to take the win. Just managed to fall short by that 1 point. What did you think?
Yeah, no, very close game. Could have really gone either way. But yeah, I'm really impressed by Geelong. I think they've continued to have an amazing start to the year and playing really consistent football.
Yeah, absolutely. I really have enjoyed this growth for them. I think it's pretty hard to cop so many losses and so many close losses sort of towards the back end of their last season. But across the board, there's heaps and heaps of performers. Meg McDonald's obviously doing a brilliant job down back with the backline group, but we see stars in the middle and plenty of scoring options up front. So it's really exciting to see that kind of investment in young local talent really pay off for Geelong.
Yep.
So yeah, looking forward to seeing what they can do in the back half of this season, I guess. Who are you playing performer votes for the round?
I actually didn't put my votes in for this one. I might have to go with whatever you have, Kel.
Sure. That's fine. I reckon you'll agree. I've given 3 votes to Ellie Blackburn. Another ridiculous performance from Ellie. It's just a shame we couldn't get them over the line. But she had 25 disposals, 3 tackles and 1 goal. I gave 2 votes to Jess Fitzgerald, who I felt like, you know, she's a pretty tidy footballer in the middle for the Dogs. But this game, she really sort of stepped up, had 24 disposals and 2 tackles, lots of ball movement out of the middle, winning at the contest. And of course, I've given 1 vote to Nina Morrison, who it's just so great to see playing some consistent football, consistent because it's not being interrupted by injury. It's amazing. Yes. So she had 21 disposals and 10 tackles.
Yes. Yeah, no, hopefully she can finish out this whole season in this good form, injury-free.
Absolutely. So in our 5th game for Saturday, we had a really hot contest, hot pie contest, if you will. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Saints taking on the Pies down at RSEA Park. The final score was 5-4-34 to the Pies 4-12-36. The Saints could have had it, but that blunder in front of an open goal and then, of course, a ridiculous game sealer from Collingwood at the other end of the ground really snuffed out the win for them. I was actually quite surprised because I was not expecting the Saints to go toe-to-toe with the Pies. They applied the pressure from the start. They actually won the tackle count on the day, but the Pies just held firm and snuck home for the win in the end. What did you reckon about this one?
Oh, such an exciting game. I went to this game and it was electric on and off that field.
Yeah, I bet. It looked like there was a fair crowd too.
Yeah, there was a pretty big crowd and it was just great to see they had everything open and, you know, all the sponsors were down. So great atmosphere to watch the game. And the weather turned out really well as well. So
absolutely amazing. We were really spoilt with the weather this weekend. I don't know if we're going to get the same next round, but make the most of it when it comes. Who are you playing performer votes for this one?
So I had Hannah Stewart for my 3 and then had Patricos for 2 and Lambert for 1.
I also had Hannah Stewart for 3. Yeah. She had a phenomenal game. She had 25 disposals, 5 tackles, 2 really critical goals. She's an inside mid who was drafted this year out of the Southern Saints VFLW side, the one who ended up losing out to the Bombers in the VFLW finals. Amazing, really consistent performer. Great to see her finally kind of light it up on the big stage. I gave 2 votes to Jamie Lambert. Again, just does the work for the Pies in the middle, had 21 disposals and 4 tackles. And I've given 1 vote to Ruby Schleicher, who similarly had 20 disposals and 3 tackles. So those two really going at it in the middle, you know, in the absence of some of their other elite midfielders. Collingwood seems to have a never-ending list of them. In game 6 of the weekend, I was looking forward to this because, again, I feel like the Tigers and the Suns are always an entertaining matchup. In previous seasons, it's been a matchup for who's going to finally win a game. This time around, they just went toe-to-toe. There were some really great battles in the mid. Really great battles, in fact, across the round. Final score for this one was 3-5-23 to 3-1-19. It was, of course, played down at the Swinburne Centre at Punt Road. It's 4 wins in a row for the Tigers. And, geez, they love a close one. But obviously last week, massive, massive upset over the Lions. This time they came from behind to claim a narrow 4-point win over the Suns. Entertaining contest, had both teams come at the ball with a kind of never say die attitude. KB essentially played the whole game with 1 eye after copping a pretty nasty eye poke. And Amelia Yasir was just absolutely making the most of it with a play on advantage in the last 2 minutes of the game to get the Tigers up for the win. It was just had everything.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like, again, Richmond are on fire.
Yeah. In fact, both these teams, for different reasons, are really kind of hitting their straps. Richmond obviously recruited hard early and they were just missing a few kind of key players to bring it all together into a cohesive unit. We're really starting to see that this year and it's really exciting because they're producing excellent footy. And then on the other hand, obviously the Suns lost a lot of players to expansion, but it hasn't really slowed them down. You're still seeing them building. They're still finding connection and scoring avenues where we thought they might have lost them. They've still got excellent matchups in the midfield in this contest. It was just, really, really entertaining. I look forward to seeing what they do for the rest of the season on both sides.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to see how both teams finish up. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like Richmond, they're just in there, just sitting at the 8, because, of course, we have that top 8 right now. It's very exciting. Who are your playing performers for this one?
Well, it's hard to look past Conti. She's just on fire, continuing her incredible form. So she got to have my 3, and then I gave Hosking 2 and Yasser 1.
I've also given Mon Conti my 3. She had 23 disposals, 8 tackles. I've given 2 votes to Charlie Rowbottom.
Yep.
I really enjoyed her matchup in the midfield with Grace Egan. I thought that was really entertaining. Rowbottom's just so strong and dominant at a contest. She had 24 disposals and 8 tackles through the middle. And to that note, I've given 1 vote to Grace Egan, who, like I said, that matchup was really great. And I really think that Grace has found her feet as sort of one of the up-and-coming midfielders of the competition. In this game, she had 16 disposals and 6 tackles and was just, really critical to the Tigers ball movement and the spread from the contest. So great to see her performing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Game 7. I was pleasantly surprised by this result. Obviously, we had the Lions taking on the Bombers up in Queensland in the Moreton Bay Central Sports Complex. Considering the Lions' dominance over most of the competition, with the exception of last week's upset, I felt like the Dons did well to hold the Lions to the score that they did. So the final score was 8-14-62 to the Dons 3-0-18. So I think despite sort of struggling to move the ball forward in the face of the Lions' defensive pressure, I think it was really fantastic that they managed to put the pressure on the Lions to not kick so cleanly, but also kick three goals themselves. You know, we've seen other teams come up against them and not really being able to crack a major. So that was really promising from an expansion side. And I think it definitely gives them that credit as one of the most successful expansion sides. The Lions, on the other hand, even with their inaccuracy in front of goals, they continue to head full steam towards finals redemption. They're just so dominant. They're absolutely not mucking around. What did you think?
I mean, I was like quite surprised. This could have very easily been like a blowout, but it wasn't.
No.
Full credit to like Essendon. They did bring it to the Lions, but yeah, Lions were just too strong.
Very, very slick movers of the football. So always a joy to watch that. Who are your player performers for this one?
Okay, Bates 3, Hickey 2, and Chris Farkas 1.
Nice. I have almost agreed with you there. I've given 3 votes to Ali Anderson in place of Emily Bates. She had 23 disposals, 6 tackles, and this game ticked over her 1,000th career disposals, which is a pretty big milestone. But she's also, on top of that, the first Indigenous woman to reach that milestone in the game. A really standout performance from Ali there. I've given 2 votes to Talia Hickey, who had an absolute screamer in the ruck and has been stringing together real consistent performances for the Lions. She had 12 disposals, 31 hitouts, 6 tackles, which is huge, and a goal, icing on the cake. Get yourself a ruck who can do anything. And I've given 1 vote to Maddie Prespakis, who, despite pretty hard tag from a number of the Lions' premier midfielders, Bates, Spark.
I know. Bates didn't get a feature in your vote.
I know. It was tough. It was tough. It was a competition. But Maddie still managed to get 20 disposals, 9 tackles, and kick a goal. So nothing to sniff at there.
Continuing her domination.
Yeah. I, again, be very surprised if she's not up there in the Dons BNF. In our second last game on Sunday, we had the much-anticipated clash between Fremantle and Melbourne, playing out at Freo Oval. The final score there was 5-6-36 for Freo to the D's 10-6-66. So it was a pretty entertaining contest. And Fremantle mounted a third-term comeback. They almost turned the game in their favour, but the D's just burnt away for that 30-point win. Sabrina Duffy returned to her old stomping ground, obviously coming from Fremantle, and kicks 2 really classy majors on her former side. There's plenty of contested footy, and I really think that the win continues to cement Melbourne's spot in the top 4 on the ladder. Definitely looking to go one better than they did last year.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really good game. Again, Melbourne are playing some really good football and really exciting team to watch.
Yeah, I think both teams have the ability to kind of spread across the ground in terms of the workload. You know, like they've got lots of really high performers on both sides. So it was really interesting seeing those folks go head to head. Who are your player performers for this one?
So I've given 3 votes to Hanks, 2 to Purcell, and my 1 goes to Daisy Pearce. Just love her grit in and around the ball. You know, some of the plays she made contributed to those goals. So
absolutely. And I think, you know, she does a lot of work to set up players for success, not necessarily registering touches or anything like that, but her work around the ball is really critical. My player and performer votes for this game, I've given 3 votes to Kiara Bowers. Just, you know, typical day in the office for her. 26 disposals, 12 tackles, and a goal. I gave 2 votes to Liv Purcell, who also had 26 disposals. She had 2 tackles and a goal. And I've given 1 vote to Tyler Hanks, who had 22 disposals and 6 tackles. So, again, those two are working really well through the middle for Melbourne. It's great to see Liv Purcell playing, again, another player who's, you know, had a bit of injury to deal with, stringing some really consistent performances together. Of course, we know Tyler Hanks is amazing, coming off the back of that rising star the year before last. So impressive stuff. And, yeah, that top 4 is really shaping up now.
I agree.
So our final game for the weekend is, of course, the Roos taking on the Swans, poor old Swannies. They have yet to win a match, and this was, no exception to the rule. It's actually the biggest ever win in the AFLW for the Roos, which was really exciting. At the final siren, the score was 9-13-67 to the Roos and 0-1-1 to the Swans. So really struggling to find their scoring avenues there. Really struggling to enter their scoring 50 in that game too. This game just showcased the connection between the Roos mids and forwards. It was at its very best. And Jazz Garner was leading from the middle. Basically, a vastly more experienced outfit outplayed an expansion side. And that's really all the context that we need in this. The Swans have probably the youngest, most inexperienced list of the four expansion sides because they've really relied on their development pathways. And obviously, we've heard a lot of commentary about the lack of opportunity for developing football at the same rate in New South Wales comparatively to Victoria. So there's lots of nuance to this, but there was also some exciting stuff for the Swans. We had Ruby Sargent-Wilson, of course, debuted and was pretty impressive on the wing, despite the scoreboard result. On the other side, we had Zoe Savavarayan, who debuted for the Roos. And looks set to be an absolute excitement machine for them. Didn't quite hit the scoreboard for a major snag, two behinds. Yeah, I reckon they're going to be pretty fantastic as they develop. Coming from a soccer background especially, I always like that that transition. But yeah, great stuff for the Roos. Again, really impressive side with a lot of depth, so it's really nice to see them hitting their straps. And hopefully they can also make it a bit further in the finals than they have in previous years. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best game to watch, but yeah, like you said, there was a lot of exciting things to see within the game. As you mentioned, Zoe's game was exceptional and said that it was exciting to see some like fresh new talent coming through the game. But yeah, I thought Jasmine Gardner was quite lethal in the middle. So she takes my three and then Riddle with my two and Brown with my one.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, I actually struggled to choose my 3-2-1 for this because there were so many good performances across the board for the Roos. I agreed with you. I gave my three to Jazz Garner. She had 18 disposals, 10 tackles and 2 goals. Also set her teammates up for goals, unselfishly gave off the ball. I've given Ash Riddell 2 votes. She had 25 disposals, 2 tackles. And I've given 1 vote to Talia Randall, who had 11 disposals and 3 massive goals. Jazz Garner, of course, towards the end of the game, just gave her a cheeky little handball and she probably could have also taken the shot herself. Mm-hmm. Set Tiles up in front of goal and, you know, you love to see a team effort. So that's really impressive. And Tiles is obviously much like, you know, the Chelsea Randalls and Taylor Harris's of the competition, pretty exciting to watch go up in the air for a big old clunk. So lots of that action to enjoy in this game. It was good, Bob.
Yes. Ah, exciting round. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, it absolutely cooked my tips. I was so sure that I'd picked truly this week, but that's the excitement of the game. Speaking of the next round, do you have a game that you're looking forward to watching? I can offer mine. I'm really excited for the Hamson Hardman Cup between Melbourne and the Bulldogs, most particularly because I believe this might be the first one that has ever been played at KC Fields.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They've all been at Witten Oval prior to this one.
Yeah.
I feel like the Doggies are going to have to get out their Rephidex and figure out where KC Fields is. There's been plenty of jokes about that in the past as to why they've never played it out there. Excited for that classic matchup and just to see how these two sides match each other in the contest. Obviously, lots of success and excitement for them so far.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that will be a really exciting game. I think I'm going to be looking out for two games. I'm really excited for this St Kilda Carlton matchup on the Friday night.
I'm not.
I think both teams will want to have a win.
Yeah. I won't be able to pick between my favourite children, but also I feel like Carlton, like this is a pretty do or die moment for them. They really need to win this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then my second one is the Collingwood Giants. I think that'll be a really good game to watch on the Sunday.
Yeah, certainly if the Giants bring what they brought to their footy just this last round gone, I think we could see something a bit similar to what we saw obviously down at RSEA, like real close, you know, hotly contested matchup between two sides. So fingers crossed the footy gods deliver.
Yeah, Can't wait.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's a wrap on round six of the AFLW season seven. If you'd like to follow along for the rest of the season, you can find us on Twitter. I'm Ro_Kel, and also you can find at Play on Radio Mel. Aish, what's your Twitter handle?
Aish_Ravi1.
Amazing. hit us up, ask us questions. Enjoy the ride that is the AFLW season. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Footy Actually.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.